Hey, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Vegan Ari Show. I am your host, Vegan Ari, and I am joined today by my beautiful husband, Miko Alon.
Hi, guys.
Thank you, everyone, so much for listening. We have a great show in store for you. Of course, we're going to be talking about some current events and, you know, the political landscape in this country. In the new vegan product section, since we are on the eve of Halloween, we're going to be talking about vegan candy that you can eat and give out to trick-or-treaters. And then, of course, we'll be closing out the show with some vegan animal rights news. Now, if you want to catch up with us during the week, please do so on Twitter. We're both very active on Twitter. I am at Vegan Ari, and Miko is at Miko Alon. And also, if you like the show, please consider leaving us a review on iTunes. We would love reviews on iTunes. Of course, good reviews. If you don't like what you're listening to, you do not have to leave a review. Just, you know, walk on by. We won't cry over that. But the good reviews, please leave them. And I want to give a shout out to LHoliday13, who left us a very nice review on iTunes this week. Thank you, LHoliday. We really appreciate that review. All right. Well, let's get into the show. So lots going on, as always, in this country. The first thing I wanted to talk about, something that's really disturbed me. Now, last week on the show, we talked about sexual harassment and sexual assault and how, in the wake of the Harvey Weinstein scandal, it seems like lots more women are speaking out. And this is being, you know, taken very seriously, as it should have always been taken seriously. Well, this week, Sarah Huckabee, what is her position?
Press secretary. She replaced the previous liar, Sean Spicer.
Right, Sean Spicer. Right, that idiot. All right, well, this week she was giving a press conference and she was asked about the people who have accused Trump of sexual harassment and sexual assault. I mean, there's a number of women who have come forward. And she literally called them. They said, what is the administration's position? She called them liars. She stood up there and called these women liars.
Can I ask a question? How can they be liars when Donald Trump himself boasted on tape about grabbing women by the pussy?
No, that's the first thing, is that
he said, you don't even have to ask for permission.
That's right.
You know, I don't ask for permission. I just go for it.
Which is the very definition of like sexual harassment.
Sexual assault.
Right. So she goes up there. She calls these women liars, talking about a man who has been caught on tape bragging about sexually assaulting women. And honestly, this administration has done a lot that has horrified me, that has appalled me. But this, I think, is the worst. And I think the reason why this is the worst is because I don't think you can come up with a number for the amount of women throughout history who have been intimidated, who have been silenced, who have been not believed about their own experience being sexually harassed or sexually assaulted. And for our administration, for the highest office in government in our country, to call women liars who are speaking out about this is, I am so sickened by this. I can't. Like, I am just, I feel like this is so incredibly damaging. I feel like this is an outrage. And I think that we should all be completely disgusted and horrified by the fact that they would do this. I don't have words. I am beside myself over this.
I agree with you. And I would just say that, you know, it is not new for a woman to debase herself speaking in favor of the Trump administration. I mean, Kellyanne Conway has been doing that, basically lying with every breath she takes. I think what's particularly galling about Sarah Huckabee doing this is that she's a self-professed Christian. She, listeners may know, is the daughter of Mike Huckabee, who is that completely deranged, bigoted, one of the most anti-gay, lunatic politicians in this country. And for her to side with a self-professed sexual predator against women victims has to be one of the most astonishingly appalling things to come from this disgraceful administration to date.
I'm beside myself over it. I'm beside myself because how many women does it take before you actually believe? When you have the man himself.
At least 11 women have accused Donald Trump of sexual harassment or sexual assault, including his ex-wife.
And the
accused him of rape.
I know. And the man himself is on tape when he thought no one else was listening, on tape admitting to sexually assaulting, bragging about it. Right, bragging about it.
And isn't that the most disgraceful statement about the state of this country?
Yes.
About the state of the Republican Party? I mean, the thing that I find so appalling is that all these conservative Christians, quote-unquote Christians, the religious right, are in bed with this man. It's like your new values are clearly grabbing women by the pussy and forcing yourself on them. You have no shame. None.
It's
zero credibility, zero morals. You should just shutter your fucking doors.
It's disgusting. I can't stop thinking about it. I can't stop thinking about
it. It has to be a low point, as you said. In an administration where you feel like the bottom can't fall out and to find new depths in the sewer.
There's no bottom. This was it. Right. There's no bottom. Like, I don't think we're ever going to hit rock bottom. I think we're just going to keep sinking into an endless void. It is disgusting. And so I do think that after, you know, the Harvey Weinstein scandal, that people are waking up to this. I think that people are taking this very seriously. I think that it is changing. But I think it's also at the same time extremely damaging that the highest office in our land would dismiss these women as liars.
Well,
that
the man should never be there.
That's a disgrace.
The man didn't win the election. He's only there because of Russian collusion.
Right. Well,
and we are recording this on Sunday evening before the first indictments come out. Cannot wait to see tomorrow.
That's right. I've heard that there's a lot of nervousness within the Trump camp.
Well, if you look at the panicky batshit tweets that came out of Donald Trump today, I'd say he's scared.
Well, I don't know if you saw this, but on Fox News, they're saying, we shouldn't be talking about Mueller. We should be talking about the Clinton administration. I said, there is no Clinton administration.
I would like to quote Madonna from the National Women's March.
Please
for that
do.
One.
Go ahead.
Dear Fox News, fuck you.
And then she said it again. Fuck you. But she also, this was during the Women's March, and she said, to all our detractors who say that this march won't amount to anything, fuck you. And then she said, fuck you. And exactly right. Fuck you, Sarah Huckabee. Don't you fucking come out
fuck
there.
Fuck you, Fox News.
Right.
Fuck you, anyone who is defending this administration at this point.
How,
you have no shame.
I say to you, how dare you? How dare you take that podium and call these women liars? How dare
you? The only liar in the room is her.
That's right. Disgusting. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh. I've had,
Ari,
I'm
had
on
some
my
more
sec-
Chardonnay.
I know, I'm on my second glass of wine. I should have said in the top of the show, we're recording this in the evening. As listeners know, I have a glass or two of wine usually with dinner. I'm on my second glass.
I'm on my third, so watch out.
So please forgive me if I sound a little uninhibited this evening or if I take it, you know, a little bit further. Oh my God, I always say when I'm drinking that I should not be anywhere near Twitter. I shouldn't be anywhere near the internet. And here
it.
I am recording myself. Yeah. Oh my God.
All right. I didn't tweet that. Well, here you are on tape.
Well,
or digital recording.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, look. We do have a parental advisory on this podcast. Did you know that? I rate it as explicit on iTunes because we say fucking shit a lot.
Yeah.
So, okay.
And we tell the truth. Unlike the White House.
I'm from New Jersey. We like basically, that's like our first words. You know, that and we're born with cigarettes in our mouths.
Yeah.
Thankfully,
and
I stopped
smoking. And you say douchebag, which I learned after I married you.
We do. We do say douchebag. But I quit smoking when I was like 25. 24, like around there. So I'm glad I quit smoking, but you go to New Jersey now, a lot of people smoke still. It's a thing. All right, moving on. I wanted to talk about the most exciting news of the week for me. Do you know what I'm going to say?
Nope.
Laverne Cox, one of the stars of Orange is the New Black, who I'm obsessed with, has gone vegan.
That's fabulous.
She's been vegan for 12 weeks. Laverne Cox plays the character on Orange is the New Black, who's transgender. She's transgender in real life as well. And she's been such an outspoken and eloquent advocate for transgender rights. I'm obsessed with her. I just think she's fabulous. I think she's an amazing actress. And the fact that she's vegan now and talking about being vegan, I just, like, it's almost too much. Like, I can't handle it. I can't handle it. So I'm very excited that I hope she stays vegan. And I don't know if she went vegan for health reasons or animal reasons or environmental reasons.
Well, I hope that Mercy for Animals is reaching out to her.
Already done. You know I was, like, on that shit, at, like, brown on
five,
rice.
Yeah, 5 minutes after the news broke.
I was on that shit. I was like, oh, wait a minute, what? And then, like, 2 seconds later, we were, like, sending her stuff. Because I think she's such an incredible activist. You know, she's a great actress, but her activism is, for me, like, why I admire her so much. I just think she's so great. So I know you listen to the show, Laverne. So I'm so excited for you that you're vegan. And hit me up on Twitter. But anyway, so yeah. And, you know, she's not the only one on that show who's vegan. Ruby Rose is vegan.
Nice.
And the woman who plays Tasty. Who I also am obsessed with.
Love it.
I forget her name, but the actress who plays Tasty is also vegan. So, yeah. And I have it on good authority, by the way. I don't know. I'm just going to say it. So my friend, well, our friend, our dear friend, Anne Hugh, she was working an event, and I don't want to give away too many details, Anne, in case there's any sort of confidentiality, but she was working an event, and Laverne Cox was there with a whole table from Orange is the New Black, and they all requested vegan meals.
Whether it's because they're all vegan or out of respect, kudos to them.
Kudos to them. Like I said, I don't want to give away too many details because I don't know, Anne, if that's confidential information, but I do have that on good authority. Okay, moving on. I want to talk, because we were out of town this week, and I want to chat about that for a minute. I am very proud. Miko's show, The Long Road Home, premiered in Texas at Fort Hood, where they filmed the show. And that was on Friday night. I flew to Fort Hood, back to Texas, my favorite state in the union. And we went to the premiere, and it was amazing. I mean, National Geographic, that's the network that's airing the show, really went all out. They converted this huge gymnasium at Fort Hood into a theater with an incredible sound system, an incredible screen. There were hundreds of people there, lots of veterans who were actually there that day on April 4th, 2004. It was quite something. It was really incredible. So I wanted to, you know, if you want to talk about it, but for me, I'll say it was really an honor and a privilege to be a part of that.
I totally agree. This is the story of a 19-man platoon that was ambushed on their fourth day in Iraq, and the incredibly costly and brave rescue mission that was launched to save them. It takes place over 8 hours of television, 8 hours in real life as well, and there was something particularly poignant. We held the premiere at the Abrams Gymnasium, which was the place where the sort of last briefing was given to the families before the troops departed. So this was the very space where a lot of people saw their loved ones for the last time, because many people died in the deployment even after this original battle, which set off 80 straight days of combat. And I'm very proud of the series, of our cast. It's a very harrowing and emotional experience, and it was so meaningful to be there with a lot of the real-life veterans, as you said.
Yeah, so I being back in Texas is always an experience for me.
The food at the after party, though, was fabulous.
There were French fries and bread.
And salad.
And, yeah, I did, well... Truth is, you wouldn't see this, but I went over to one of the servers and I was like, I need to ask you a question. Because the salad that they put out had like cheese in it and all the shit. I'm like, can you please just make two salads for us that don't have like cheese or whatever? And you can just bring out oil and vinegar and we'll. And she did. She was really, really sweet about it and you know, very nice. But I'm very proud of this show, Miko. I think it's amazing. And it premieres on November 7th. And
worldwide in 171 countries in 45 languages.
Yes. Yeah, so please, if you listen to the show, National Geographic, The Long Road Home, November 7th, and then it's an 8-part miniseries, but I think you're showing the 2 episodes on the first night, right? So after that, it'll only be 7 weeks after that, right?
Yes, and it will move to its regular time at 10 p.m. on Tuesdays until December 19th. And if you don't have cable, you can watch it on iTunes or Amazon Prime.
What about Hulu?
Possibly Hulu too. I don't know yet.
Very cool. And we are going to the LA premiere.
Which is the big world premiere.
Right, tomorrow night. So that should be fabulous. Who's coming, Miko? Is Michael Kelly coming?
Everyone's coming.
Is Kate Bosworth coming?
Yes.
I hear
rumors that Arnold Schwarzenegger and Maria Shriver are both coming.
Oh, wow.
Because Patrick Schwarzenegger is one of our stars.
Is Jason Ritter coming?
Jason is filming, so unfortunately, no.
Okay. Well, not everybody. But a lot of people.
Almost everyone. Okay. Almost our entire cast will be there.
Well, I am.
And a lot of our amazing crew. And of course, you.
Well, I am very excited. I'm wearing a very low-cut, slinky red dress with a very big blonde wig.
Did you borrow that from Trisha Helfer?
I did. We're friends. Okay, Miko and I are friends with Trisha Helfer. For those of you who are fans of Battlestar Galactica, she played Six, the Cylon.
And she's currently on Lucifer.
Right. And Trisha is one of the most lovely people I've ever met in my life. She is warm and sweet and funny and absolutely gorgeous. She was a supermodel in the 90s. And then she, I guess, got into acting after that. And if you've watched Battlestar Galactica, I mean, she is a fantastic actress. She is a powerhouse.
She's incredible.
Yeah, she really is. And for Halloween.
And she's a tireless animal advocate.
Well, yeah, that's the other thing. She is, I think she's vegan. If not vegan, she's definitely vegetarian. But she is she's a wonderful animal activist, specifically with cats. She does a lot of rescue work with cats, and we've been to her house, and she has like 8 or 9 cats, and like she built this amazing cattery that like they can go in and out, but they're protected. You know, it's not like they can really go outside. There's not a fence, but they can't get out. And it's amazing what she's done. So for Halloween this year, I was looking at her Instagram and she went out to a Halloween party and she went dressed as her character from Battlestar Galactica.
I could not love that more. That's fabulous.
It was amazing. Yeah, she looked amazing. So I love Trisha Helfer. Okay, and then the last thing that I want to talk about before we move on to talking about vegan Halloween candy is I got Miko to watch a couple episodes of the reboot of Will and Grace. Well, what do you think?
It is so funny and charming and nostalgic. And there's something so interesting. We were talking about this, like the format's kind of old fashioned for today's television, but it works. And the writing is so sharp. It's wonderful to see all the characters and sort of we've aged with them.
Yeah.
So you deal with the issues, and it's fabulous.
Who's your favorite?
I kind of have to say Karen.
I know. Karen is pretty fabulous. I love
Karen. Jack is pretty fabulous, too. They're all fabulous.
They're all really good. I think also the writing is really fun, but also the physical comedy. Like, Jack is very good. Sean Hayes is very good at physical comedy. You know, his mannerisms, like how he, you know, does stuff. He's very funny.
But yet, I think there's always been a substance to that show. It's not just like, you know, slapstick comedy. There's always been, I think, there's an interesting commentary in this season about younger gay people not knowing their history, for example, which I thought was very poignant about these horrifying ex-gay camps, which,
yeah.
You know, Mike Huckabee and
Sarah Huckabee support. Probably love them, right.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, anyway, I don't want to segue into a conversation about how catastrophically ignorant those people are, but back to Will and Grace, fabulous. And one thing which I love about it is that they redid the main title, which used to be just simple text. So it's that same theme, but it's been expanded and has visuals. And I just thought, what a beautiful tribute to a great show.
Yes. So watch Will and Grace. You won't be sorry. Okay. Well, with that, let's get into some vegan Halloween candy.
Let's do it.
Yay, new vegan products. Well, not really. We're going to use this section today to talk about vegan Halloween candy. So this is stuff that like you can hand out to trick-or-treaters that does not include any meat, dairy, or eggs, or stay at home and have it yourself because it's Halloween. And Halloween is about many things, but it's about candy. It's about, you know, sweets. And if you know me, you know that I am a sugar person. I love cake, cookies, candy. I love anything with sugar. I am much more a sugar person over a savory person. I know that you're a savory
person. Yeah, we just had a conversation about the fact that I discovered after quite a long time together that you don't like potato chips.
I am not. Crazy. I know. I'm just savory stuff. I mean, I like savory stuff. I obviously eat food. But if you gave me the choice between like sweet or savory, I go for sweet. I like cakes, cookies, brownies, you know, anything.
We should do a feature segment of like if you could never have this or that. Like, for example, if you could never have pizza or ice cream.
Oh, pizza. I'd give up pizza in a minute.
Ice cream in a minute.
See, I don't even care about pizza.
Okay, how about chocolate or potato chips?
First of all, I would give up everything before chocolate. Chocolate is, I have chocolate literally every day. I eat chocolate. Chocolate is like.
Oh, totally potato chips. Okay, here's a difficult one.
All right. Oh, no.
Wine or coffee?
Coffee. I need wine. I have to have wine.
I'm going
to
have both.
Yeah, I love coffee, but I don't need coffee the way other people need coffee. I actually don't drink coffee in the morning to like
wake up. So you're saying you need wine?
I need wine. Look at my life.
Hey.
No, I'm saying I have a stressful life. I work very hard. I, you know, live in Los Angeles. There's traffic. There's smog. I need something to take the edge off at the end of the day.
But you have me and you have our cats.
I do. And I love you guys very much.
Like I said, I love
Chardonnay too. all right. So let's get into vegan Halloween candy already.
Okay.
So now I printed out a list from the PETA website. This is a list of candies that are certified vegan by PETA. And I don't think, I also have some other tips that I wrote down here. So I'll get to that if we don't cover it in this list, okay? So are you ready for vegan Halloween candy?
I am.
All right, there's a lot here, so I'm going to go through them. All right, the first one is Smarties.
Love.
And I also love Smarties because Smarties is run by our good friend Liz D. It's her family business. And you guys, Liz D is seriously one of the most lovely, wonderful people you'll ever meet in your life. She is a true blue animal activist. She is vegan. She is amazing. So if you buy Smarties, you can feel good that you're supporting a small owned. Well, I shouldn't say small. I mean, they're a big business, but they're still family owned.
Family owned.
Family owned business. They're located in New Jersey, my home state. And Liz, like I said, is one of the loveliest people in the world. So
Liz and Nick are so radiant.
They are. Nick's Nick. Yeah, Nick's her husband. Nick is also just a beautiful human being. So you feel good about that. Okay, next, Airheads.
Ooh.
Okay.
They're vegan?
According to PETA.
I may have to start eating those.
Okay. They have something here called Enjoy Life Halloween Rice Milk Chocolate Minis. Okay. That's like a long name.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Chico Sticks. Do you know Chico Sticks? I don't even know what that is.
Okay. No. Okay. No.
Next. Crybabies.
Okay.
Okay. I don't know what crybabies are. Do you?
No.
Okay. Well, they're
thanks, PETA.
All right. Dots. I know what dots are. You know what dots are?
No.
Dots are like kind of like, they're like jelly beans.
Oh.
Yeah. They're kind of like that. All right. 7. Dum Dums.
Ooh.
Yeah. I think those are the lollipops, right?
Yeah.
Okay, 8, Fireballs.
Eh.
Nah, I'm not eating that. All right, 9, Brock's Root Beer Barrels.
Okay.
Okay. Number 10, Hubba Bubba Bubblegum.
Really?
Yeah, that's vegan.
I had that as a kid.
Mm.
That was all the way in Finland in the...
Oh my God, in the 1950s. Okay, number...
I think you meant the late 70s or early 80s.
All right, number 11, Jolly Ranchers.
Love those.
Mm-hmm.
Love.
Number 12, Brock's Lemon Drops.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Love those too.
Number 13, Cocomels. Oh.
That's the
If you're giving out Cocomels at your house, you are a fancy lady.
And a rich lady.
And those are like expensive, but they're really good. They're like basically vegan caramels.
They're so good.
They're amazing.
And they come in like 5 different varietals.
Yeah, you can get them at Whole Foods. Mm. Okay, number 14, Smurf Sweets Organic Halloween Treat Pack. I think Smurf Sweets are the ones who make the vegan gummy worms or something, right?
That those are great. All their candies are great. Yeah. The ones that are vegan.
Number 15, Juji fruits.
Ooh.
Okay. Where's the 16? Oh, number 16, Charms Blow Pops. Okay. Number 17, Sour Patch Kids.
Love those.
I
have those
I
at the
like
movie
them.
Theater.
Yeah, they're good.
With some Chardonnay.
Number 18, Swedish Fish. A classic.
That's like the best ever.
A classic. And you know what? If you go to Trader Joe's, they've totally ripped off Swedish Fish. They have this candy product that they call Scandinavian Swimmers. I mean, come on, Trader Joe's.
Hashtag
Jesus.
Copyright violation.
Right. But it's basically Swedish Fish, and they're also vegan.
I had them tonight.
They're really good. All right. Number 19, Now and Later. What's a Now and Later?
I don't know.
Have I had that before?
I thought Skittles were vegan.
You know, that's not on this list, but I think
Skittles is definitely gelatin-free. I don't know if they
The new ones are, right? Didn't they change the formula like a couple years ago?
Oh, Ari, they changed it like in 2005.
Oh, no, they didn't.
No,
it was like a couple years ago.
No, it's been years since then.
All right, so Skittles?
I think Skittles.
Skittles, all right. And then I wanted to add some stuff here because there was some stuff that wasn't on the list.
Let's talk about the really good shit.
All right. Most dark chocolate is vegan. So if you get like, and there's, you know, a lot of different companies that make it, but I'll say that my favorite dark chocolate, I have two. Alter Eco, mm-hmm. which you can get at Whole Foods, and then Endangered Species Chocolate. I love both of them. Now, I will just throw this in because I know that my friend Lauren would absolutely kill me if I didn't. You do have to think about where chocolate is sourced. And I try as best as I can to only buy chocolate that was produced in South America because there is an issue with child slave labor and all sorts of bad shit that happens with chocolate production in certain parts of Africa. She has told me that there hasn't been any of that documented in South America, and they do produce a lot of chocolate in South America. So just look for chocolate that comes from South America. And lots of times on the product, it'll tell you where it's sourced.
Yes.
So
and
that's
like with most candy. Like most products, really, when people are proud of their origins, they'll state it.
Yeah. So look for that. So any dark chocolate, just read the ingredients, but most of it is vegan, and there's tons of companies that produce all sorts of dark chocolate. So there's that. The second one I want to bring up, have you had Little Secrets?
What is that?
They're like vegan M&Ms.
What?
Yes, and they sell them at Whole Foods, and they're so fucking good.
And you haven't brought them home because?
No, well, because I cannot have that in the house. I don't want M&Ms in the house. I also, you know what else I don't have in the house? I never buy pretzels because I will eat the whole fucking bag. So I just decide I don't want it in here because I will eat all of it. And I love M&Ms. In college, I used to eat the peanut M&Ms. And Secrets, this Little Secrets, it tastes just like M&Ms.
Should we talk about finished candies that are vegan?
I have more I want to go through before you get to your finished stuff that no one wants to eat. Okay. Justin's Dark Chocolate Peanut Butter Cups.
Those are really good.
Oh, my God. If you like Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, the Justin's Dark Chocolate Peanut Butter Cups are amazing. Now, they do make a milk chocolate and a white chocolate that are unfortunately not vegan, but the dark chocolate version is very, very good. Okay, and then one more that I want to mention, Max Goes candy bars. So I think you can buy them at Whole Foods. The fact that these exist.
Are these the ones that are like the Twilight Bar?
Yes. So what this company has done, and they've been around for a couple years now, is they mimic all these candy bars that we grew up with, like Milky Way, Three Musketeers, Snickers, Almond Joy, and they do vegan versions of them. And the names are similar, like Three Musketeers is called, I don't know what the fuck it's called, but all the candy bars are like, if you like Snickers, you'll like this. If you know
if
what
you
mean?
Look at them,
remember
you'll
those
see what they are.
In designer and pasta fragrances.
Yeah, it's
from
like,
the 80s.
It's like the
that.
Mars bar.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's like that, except with candy
like
bars.
Like Twilight Time is like a Mars bar.
No, the Twilight bar is Milky Way. So it's like the same, you know what I mean? It's like the same thing, you know? I think the Snickers is called Jokers. But you'll know because you'll read the description of what the candy bar is and you'll be like, oh, that's just like a Three Musketeers. And you're like, yeah, well, that's, you know, what they're trying to do. So if you can find Max Go's candy bars,
now,
I highly recommend them because they're
very
good.
Now you know that Finland makes excellent candy. There are these lovely black licorice candies, the Turkish peppers, the Dracula pills. There's
Dracula pills? Why are they called pills?
They're not really pills. They're like a, you know, fucking oval. But there's also the tar candy that I had tonight. I mean, isn't that delicious?
No. I will say that your Finnish candy is really upsetting. And I remember when we first started dating, we were driving to San Francisco.
Our first road trip together to San Francisco.
And I got really hungry. And I was like, I saw you like eating these candies on the ride up.
February 2001.
And I said, what are you eating? And you're like, oh, they're black licorice. And I'm like, oh, I really like black licorice. Let me have one. So I started eating it and I was like, oh, okay. You know, it's a little salty, but, you know, it's good. And then all of a sudden, I started smelling cat pee. Like it smelled like cat piss. And I was like, why? Like, ugh. And then I realized I was like eating cat piss. And I was like, oh my God. I'm like, what did you give me? And you're like, yeah, you know, in the center of these black licorice candies, there's ammonium chloride. And I was like, what? Ammonia? And you're like, yeah, it's delicious. And I was like, it's disgusting. It tastes like I'm eating cat piss. I don't understand, you Finnish people, how you can eat this stuff. It's called salmiakki. That's the name of it. And it's like this horrifying
black licorice gone wrong. First of all, it's a very salty black licorice, which is a huge hit in Northern Europe, Central Europe. It's an acquired taste, perhaps. It does not taste like cat piss. That's ridiculous.
It does. It does, because that's exactly what I was tasting. And I will say, when we were doing the Sam Simon show, we had Kate Porter try one live on the air. And she was so disgusting.
No, people first are like, this isn't so bad. And then it gets really salty and people freak
out. Oh my God, she was so upset. Oh my God, that was so funny.
What about the tar candies? You don't like the tar candies?
No, they're disgusting. First of all, tar should not be in candy. Tar is what you put on like, you know, a fucking dock or something. You shouldn't be eating it. It's horrifying. Whenever you eat that, I'm like, oh my God, your breath.
So good.
All right. Well, I think we've given people... And you know, look, you can also do things like candied apples. There, you know, you can do delicious candy. You could do...
Or those salad mini packs.
Oh my God. I don't know if you guys saw that meme going around, but there was a meme of like, it said what vegans give out for Halloween. And it was like a Dole salad mini pack. Like you would give out
and
like...
It said like fun size.
It was hilarious. That was really funny. I mean, a couple of my friends actually said they would have it. All right. Well, I think we've covered vegan candy. Let's get into some vegan animal rights news.
Let's do it. Okay,
everybody, it is time for vegan animal rights news under the influence of Chardonnay. Okay, let's get into the first story. Race car driver Lewis Hamilton has gone vegan and credits his vegan diet for his victory at the U.S. Grand Prix.
Really?
Yes, I have no idea what that is, but I'm sure it's something really important in the race car world. And
that's what I said when people said, we're going to have three spots in the first game of the World Series. I said, that sounds important. But I'm gay, so
right.
I don't know.
I don't know. So I don't know what the Grand Prix is, but I'm very happy that Lewis Hamilton did so well at it, and he did so well crediting his vegan diet for his performance. So well done, Lewis Hamilton. And I also saw a picture of him, and he's really cute, too.
Well, that's good.
So, you know, vegan, cute, and can drive a race car. That's pretty cool. And did well at the Grand Prix. Okay, next story. Dairy farmers in the UK have raised concerns over the rise of vegan celebrities.
Really?
Yes, this is so hilarious. So there was like some sort of dairy industry like get together in the UK, and a couple dairy farmers expressed concerns about the rise of, you know, vegan milks, plant-based milks, and that the fact that so many celebrities are speaking out about the fact that they don't do dairy. And I think...
Were they talking about you?
Well, I mean, I am verified on Twitter. But no, they weren't talking about me. They were talking about people like Natalie Portman and, you know, people like Jenna Dewan Tatum and people like, you know, I mean, these are big celebrities who are very outspoken about their veganism. I mean, Natalie Portman recently gave an interview to some magazine where she said she hasn't had a breakout in 6 years and it's because she's vegan. So it's stuff like that. She said that she was relating dairy to why, you know, she broke out. So I think that it's stuff like that. I just think it's also interesting to me that I think the dairy industry is very scared. I think that they're realizing that the writing is on the wall and people really don't want to drink cow's milk. You know, they're done with it. They're, you know, if you go to the supermarket, I mean, I said this before, if you went to the supermarket 10 years ago and you went to the dairy section, it would be all milk. And, you know, there'd be like one like sad fucking, you know, carton of soy milk stuck in
hemp milk.
Right. In the bottom shelf of like, you know, it'd be like some shelf stable thing with dust piling on it.
I think that's how it is in France.
Right. Now you go and half the department is almond milk, soy milk, coconut milk. I mean, it's incredible. It's incredible how much more there is now. So and then you read about, you know, like we talked about a couple weeks ago, but Elmhurst Dairy in New York, which had been a dairy producer for 90 years, has just closed their doors and reopened as a vegan milk company.
That is amazing.
And their milks are fucking good. Probably much better than when they were producing dairy milk. I would say definitely much better. Okay, next story. A former slaughterhouse worker in Canada says killing animals reinforced his other violent behavior. This was really interesting. This man's name is... I only have his last name. Shoot. The part with his first name got cut. Oh, sorry. Here it is. Scott Hoskins. So Scott Hoskins used to work in a chicken factory farm. He is now a vegan animal rights activist.
Wow.
And he goes to the Toronto Pig Save events in Canada. And he talks about how killing animals every day and being so numb, being so insensitive to that violence translated into him being violent in other areas of his life.
Well, how could it not?
Yeah. And I think it's really, you know, it's very powerful when people speak out about this stuff because, you know, we can talk about it and whatever, but I've never worked in a slaughterhouse. I've never worked on a factory farm. I don't know. But the fact that he's speaking out about this is really interesting. He says, I'm just going to read from the article. This was a blog post written by my colleague, Joe Loria. He says, looking back, Hoskins believes that the violence he took part in at work led to the destruction of his personal life. He didn't have a violent past, but soon after taking the job at the slaughterhouse, he became what he describes as aggressive and angry. There was, quote, there was a lot of alcohol consumption regularly and excessively, he says. He spent his workdays killing animals, and that violence carried over into his personal life. Well, I'm glad that he's done a complete 180 and is now a vegan animal rights activist. And he said that since he's done that, he has not been violent.
That's very good.
Yeah. Well done. I would love to do a video with this guy because I think he'd be really inspirational.
I think you should. I think that'd be incredibly powerful.
Paging Sean Bannon. Okay. Sean Bannon is our director of video production at Mercy for Animals. And you guys, first of all, everyone in my department is amazing. I want to just give everyone a shout out. They're all fabulous. I mean, Sarah, Julie, Rachel, Joe. But I have to give a special shout out to Sean. I think Sean is such a gifted storyteller. And he does these videos for us where he gets people to open up and talk about whatever their story is, you know, whether they have a vegan restaurant or they're a doctor, you know, who's vegan and who talks about, you know, vegan nutrition with their patients or... And his videos have gone viral. They've been seen by millions of people. And I adore Sean. I think that he is such a nice guy. But he is. We're very lucky to have him in the animal rights movement because he really, the videos that he produces are fantastic. So I'll have to get Sean to speak with Scott Hoskins if I can coordinate that. Okay, next story. Grubhub reports vegan takeout is up 20% in the last year.
Only 20? I think it's higher.
Still, though, that's really good. I think this is great. I think that's fantastic. So, well done. I wish Postmates would put out a study like that, because we use Postmates a lot. Just us would be a 20% increase.
Probably.
We're always... I don't know.
We don't have a veggie grill close enough to us to
go
to.
No, so we got to Postmates it over, which takes an hour and a half, apparently. It did last night. Oh, God. That's too long. This LA traffic is getting to me. We need self-driving cars, Miko. Okay, next story. Mayor Bill de Blasio, New York mayor, and school chancellor Carmen Farina joined Brooklyn borough president Eric Adams, who, by the way, Eric Adams is a vegan, the Brooklyn borough president, to announce the launch of a Meatless Monday pilot program in 15 Brooklyn schools that will begin this spring.
I love that.
I know. I think it's so fucking cool. So that means that over 300,000 more vegetarian meals will be served in public schools under the new program this year.
That's fantastic.
Go Brooklyn. Go Brooklyn. I think that is amazing.
Brooklyn seems to be the new vegan mecca in New York City.
I know. Things have really changed since I've been in New York, because when I was living in New York just a short few years ago.
In the 1970s.
Excuse you. I wasn't in the 1970s. My God. What do you think? I was going to Studio 54 with Andy Warhol? No. I wasn't even born then. I was barely born then. Brooklyn is really, you know, it's different. Like when I was living there, no one really, you know, Brooklyn was more residential. You know what I mean? It was like not really, you know, people wanted to live in Manhattan. That was the city. I think now, because Manhattan prices have gotten so insane, people are moving out to Brooklyn, and so many people, you know, Williamsburg, Bushwick, Brooklyn Heights, obviously, Park Slope, all those neighborhoods are just, I mean, some of them are even more expensive than certain parts of Manhattan, and they have incredible restaurants. When we were in New York the last time, we spent a little bit of time in Brooklyn, and we went to Dunwell Donuts. We went to Champs in Williamsburg, which is like a vegan diner that was
Riverdale
incredible.
Cheese Shop.
We went to Riverdale Cheese Shop. I mean, Brooklyn is got it going on. There's a lot of great vegan shit. There's also now a vegan pizza place in Brooklyn called Screamers that's owned by the same person who owns Blackbird Pizzeria in Philly.
Now, Blackbird, that's a destination to visit if you're in Philadelphia.
Yo, I mean, you should just go to Philadelphia for Blackbird. It's ridiculous. All right, next news story. This is from PETA. The headline is, Victory! Hellhole Blood Bank to close. Hellhole. They said the Pet Blood Bank in Cherokee, Texas will close its doors and transfer dogs into adoption programs following a PETA expose. This was at a greyhound facility. I guess where they, I don't know if they bred greyhounds here or whatever, but it was for racing. And this was a huge victory for them. This was, like I said, like they said, following one of their exposés. So well done, PETA. Dog racing is really, really sad, just as horse racing is. We should not be, animals are not for our entertainment, people. We should not be doing this. I'm glad that they exposed this. I'm glad that these dogs are going to get adopted and that this place is going to be shut down. Well done. Next story. Noah Cyrus. Do you know who she is?
Nope.
She's Miley Cyrus's younger sister.
Okay.
Oh, my God. All right. Anyway, she is in a new PETA ad speaking out about SeaWorld, about the orcas living in bathtubs. She is in a bathing suit in this, like, tank. It's on the beach. And it's a boy.
Do you have a photo?
Yeah, right here. Look. What do you think?
Wow.
Yeah, right? It's cool. And it's a boycott SeaWorld ad. And I want to say, I think that these ads are really effective because when I was traveling to Texas this past week, I got a couple magazines for the plane. And one of the magazines I got was Us Weekly. I'm not ashamed to say that every once in a while, I like to read some trashy magazines, you know, find out what's going on in the world. And PETA takes full page ads in Us Weekly. Like I saw one.
Really?
Yeah. I saw one with John Stamos. That was about, you know, adopting a dog from a shelter. And I was like, this is great that they do this. You know, I don't know how much a full page ad in Us Weekly is. That's got to be expensive. But I think about all of, you know, the people who read Us Weekly and see that. I think it does stay in your brain. A lot of people read these magazines.
Sure.
So hopefully they'll put Noah Cyrus in there, because I think that she's also a singer, like her sister. And, you know, I think a lot of younger people really like her. So she could be an inspiration for people to, you know, not go to SeaWorld. All right. Also in celebrity news, Robbie Williams has gone vegan.
Really?
Yeah. Remember Robbie Williams? I remember. He was like early 2000s, like maybe late 90s. He was a British pop star. So he's gone vegan. He says he adopted a mostly plant-based diet. Wait, mostly? This says he's gone vegan. All right, well, whatever. He's adopted a mostly plant-based diet.
What publication said vegan when it says mostly plant-based?
I don't want to out who said this because I like the publication and I don't want to shame them. All right, well, let's just say he's gone mostly vegan. Okay, we'll take it for now, Robbie. To cure a mystery illness that forced him to cancel his summer tour. A mystery illness? And then he was quoted. Well, he is quoted. He says, "Now I am vegan," Williams said. "I do Pilates every day. I do yoga every day. And have a really, big burger on Sunday." You motherfucker.
Yeah. Let's contact this publication about their editorial.
Yeah, this is not. You know. I mean, if you're having a burger on Sunday, it's not really vegan.
Maybe it's
girl.
A veggie burger.
Maybe it's an impossible burger. That's true. All right. Moving on. Well, next time I'll do more fact checking. Fake news. Fake news. All right. Next story. Dr. Bronner's is donating $600,000 to animal rights causes. I believe this is for World Vegan Day. The company allocated funds to national animal rights organizations include Compassion Over Killing, Mercy for Animals, that's where I work, Good Food Institute, Humane Society of the United States, and Plant-Based Foods Association. The Plant-Based Foods Association is that one that's like a lobbying group.
Nice.
In D.C. that they try and get more plant-based foods into, like, you know, government awareness, and they push this stuff, and they're trying to, like, rewrite legislation. They're really great. They're great. But well done, Dr. Bronner's. That's great. I don't really use their shit, but maybe I should start.
Maybe we should.
They're the ones who make that soap in the big, you know, bottles that you see at Whole Foods.
Oh.
What's that soap called? Castile soap or something.
Wow.
Yeah.
I've seen that.
Yeah, but $600,000 they're giving away on World Vegan Day? That's great.
That's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, how many other companies do that? Good for you, Dr. Bronner's. I'm going to get some of that soap. I've used that soap. And, you know, they say that the soap is, like, very versatile. Like, you're supposed to be able to use it for anything, like washing your laundry or wash. Did you say something upsetting, Miko? Why are you laughing to yourself? Why are you making fun of me? Did I say something weird because I'm drunk?
No.
Well, what? All right, whatever.
You just said it's versatile.
It is. Oh, what are you? Get your head out of the gutter, Miko. We're not talking about gay sex.
Have another Chardonnay.
But you can. You can. I'm telling you, you're supposed to
Go
be able
on,
to
you
do
can
a lot.
Use it. But
right. No, you. I'm just saying you can use it for a bunch of things. Okay. Anyway, look it up online. All the stuff you can use Dr. Bronner's for, and then go out and buy it, because they give a lot of money to animal rights organizations.
And it's versatile.
All right. I don't even know what we just said. With that, we've come to the end of another show. I want to thank all of you for bearing with us. I know that. Why are you laughing? Oh my God, what is so funny?
I'm fine.
Oh yeah, sure. You haven't laughed this much since I started talking about sausages. Remember that when I was talking about sausages and you were like, all you thought it was so funny? Oh my God. Anyway, as I said, with that, we've come to the end of another show. We will be back next week. So thank you everyone so much for listening, and we will talk to you next weekend. Bye, everybody. Say goodbye, Miko.
Oh my God.